But just look at the world we live in. We are fickle people. So the king sends out another wave of invitations. Servants will be sent out to say, come on, now's the time. Wasn't something you went to for a couple of hours. You know, these wedding feasts could go on for days. So people will be reminded when it's time to go. So he sends his servants out again to invite people. But no, people don't want to come. Some just refuse. No, not coming. Others, it tells us, are just apathetic. They paid no attention. They just went off to get on with their daily work or whatever. And others were positively hostile. They seized the king's servants, ill-treated, and killed them. I wonder whether, as Jesus was telling this parable, was he thinking literally? Or was he thinking spiritually? That spiritually people were not willing to come. And you know, I think maybe it's both. And we can see those parallels in our society, can't we? Some are hostile to the gospel message. Many are just apathetic. They just don't care. It just never comes across their radar. They never give it a thought. So then the king sends his servants out again. And this time he says, go to the street corners and invite anyone you find. The bad as well as the good. So the invitation now is extended to everyone. And we could draw a parallel here with the invitation being extended from Israel to the Gentiles. In our modern day society, everyone is invited. No one is excluded from the invitation. And so finally, this king has got his wedding guests, and the banquet can begin. And then we have this rather curious event in verse 11. The king comes in to see the guests, and he notices a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. One person who sticks out like a sore, the proverbial sore thumb, because he's not appropriately dressed. Now, okay, you know, you and I wouldn't go to a wedding in our gardening gear or our jeans or whatever, would we? But even if you did, being bound hand and foot and thrown out into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth does seem a bit of an overreaction. And as I sort of read this through, you sort of think, what is that about? Well, I think it's one of those occasions where we need to understand a little bit about the culture. That if somebody important, somebody rich, was throwing a banquet, it would be perfectly normal for them to provide the gowns, the clothing. Now, there's an odd concept, isn't it? To our 21st century ears. But that's how it worked. That they would provide the things for the guests to wear so that everybody would be dressed properly and well. And it's not too much of a stretch to think, if the person throwing the banquet was the king, that the clothing he provided would probably be pretty impressive, wouldn't it? It would be pretty grand. so everybody would look amazing. And so the one person who, for whatever reason, didn't accept that clothing really would stick out and look very much out of place. One person who's not appropriately dressed. It's God who issues the invitation, and to everybody. Talking a little bit earlier about welcome. And as I've got a bit more involved with Mourne Valley Citizens and with Citizens as an organisation, it's really quite interesting when you begin to get more involved in an organisation that is not faith-based. Lots of people in it are Christians. Within Mourne Valley Citizens, the great majority are from churches, from different churches around Mansfield. But I went on a six-day training thing in September, and there were quite a few Christians there. We had the Church of England bishop, various clergy, although they did manage to keep fairly well hidden. There was not a dog collar in sight all week. There was also a Muslim imam and various other Muslim leaders and people of no faith at all. One or two who declared themselves as complete atheists. Some, I just don't know. But actually, I've learnt so much from being in that sort of environment. And there is so much that unites us as human beings. That even if we don't all share faith, there is a common desire there to welcome and to honour other human beings and to treat people with respect and with love. And of course we want to bring our faith to that. Of course we do. But actually God issues a welcome to all, regardless of whether they were brought up in a faith or not, regardless of what colour skin they have, what language they speak. That invitation is there and it is wide. But this bit also tells us that we have to decide what we're going to do with that invitation. Now, the fact that we're sitting in church this morning suggests that, you know, we want to accept that invitation. Or at least we're beginning to think in that sort of direction. But it set me thinking, you know, when you get an invitation to something, whether it's a wedding or a party, we sometimes have different responses, don't we? So sometimes, yeah, you know, we're really excited, we get this invitation, and we're really delighted to have been asked, and we put the date on our calendars, and we look forward to it. We might even think about whether we're going to take a gift, what might we wear. We're excited about it. But is that always the case? Sometimes we just think, oh, look, I'm just too busy. I just can't be bothered with it. There's just too much going on. Do we sometimes think, well, yeah, if nothing better comes along, I'll go, be all right, you know, but I might get a better offer. Do we look for excuses, actually? Because we don't really want to go, if we're honest. But we don't want to say we don't want to go, because that looks really churlish, doesn't it? Maybe sometimes we just can't be bothered. And yet, it's a bit uncomfortable, isn't it, that? Because if somebody's taken the trouble to invite us and they want us to be there, it sort of seems a bit uncomfortable thinking, well, I don't really want to be bothered. And yet, thinking about this invitation from God. And of course, we all want to say that, yes, we're going to be there, we're working towards it, we're, you know, we're excited. But if we're honest, do we always live that way? Because I don't. I have times where I just think, oh, it's just too much trouble. And it's not that I deliberately turn against it. Just stuff gets in the way. And I sincerely hope I'm not the only one. Don't think I am. I think I'm reasonably safe. And I hope I'm safe admitting that. Because, you know, we get things wrong, don't we? But we have got this invitation to what will be the biggest, most important, longest, most amazing party of all time. That's good, isn't it? You know, we are invited to be there. But this passage teaches we've got to opt in. And if we decide to opt in, we have to take the full package. This guy who decided not to wear the wedding clothes found out the hard way. But that actually, we can't just turn up however we wish. We have to be part of it. We have to be disciples. We can't just decide that we want the end results and then live however we choose. It doesn't work like that. It needs to be ongoing. But I also think there's a huge freedom in this. You see, when all those people were given their clothes to wear, it meant that those who didn't have a lot didn't look silly. Those who couldn't afford the designer stuff, those who couldn't buy the smartest shoes or the best suit or whatever, were in no way disadvantaged. There's no shame in it. But equally, those who did have couldn't parade that either. And isn't that a fantastic message for us? You know, whether we have a little or whether we have plenty isn't actually in the end going to matter. We are all invited. And we will all get the best. We'll all get the best outfit to wear. We'll all get the best wine and the best food. Now, what you consider the best food, and we don't know what it's going to look like, do we? And that's, I think that's part of the excitement. But none of us are going to be only just inside the door because we didn't quite make it. It is there, and the party is for each and every one of us. But we need to take heed that we've got to turn up properly dressed. And that means, as we go along the way, living the life and moving forward. We've all got that invitation. Are we working towards it with joy and with excitement? Amen. We're going to sing again now, and as we sing this next song, we're going to take up our offering. So I'm going to stand and sing Amazing Grace.